Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Tune into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service. Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane. I live, work, I love beer here in D.C. During my time at culinary school, I gained an appreciation for good beer and continued my studies in beer at grad school at NYU. Since then, I have been a beer director, beer bar general manager, and I get to continue to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Every week, I will have a different guest from different parts of the beer world, brewers, importers, bartenders, educators, to help us explore this fascinating and dynamic world. Whether you're new to beer or a seasoned professional, we have something for you. So today, on this actually beautiful Monday morning in Washington, D.C., I have the co-founders of Aslan Beer Company, Andrew Kelly and Kai Luskowitz. Aslan Beer Company opened in 2016 in Herndon, Virginia, and they have exploded across the beer world. Beer nerds all around have stood in line for this beer. Very, very difficult to get a hold of as of late. They make really, really beautiful hazy New England style IPAs, Berliner Weiss, some stouts, and they currently have a pop-up at the Nats Stadium, a little pop-up beer garden, which I've had the privilege of going to. Really, really beautiful little spot, great beers. There's typically a food truck there for food. So Andrew, Kai, thank you both so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I got you right? The intro. All right. So I do want to talk a little bit about your pop-up right at Nat Stadium. How has that been going?
It's been great. It's extremely weather dependent, but we're just selling cans out of our reefer truck. We're open for all of Nat's home games, and going into June and the remainder of the season, we're hoping to be open every day.
Oh, wow. So, and have you had people who, you know, have never heard of your beer before? Or do you have, you know, the serious diehard beer nerds who have, like, followed you from Herndon to the Nats Stadium? Or do you mostly just get people, like, right before the game?
Yeah, it's actually been a surprise. We've gotten a lot of new customers out of this beer garden. Aslan is well-known in the beer nerd community, but This has shown us that we have so much more room for growth outside of that for the everyday or even average beer consumer.
So you're still a fairly new brewery, and you opened up when in 2016, early?
We've actually opened up September 2015.
2015, okay, sorry about that little snafu there. And the name of the company is for, it's the maiden name of your wives, right? Because you both, you married sisters, right?
Yeah, we did.
So... So tell this story. Tell us how you kind of came to be.
So, God, maybe 10 years ago, my wife got me a homebrew kit. Didn't know Kai existed at that point.
And, he does exist.
Yeah, he does.
I am real.
You're not just a figure of my imagination.
No. Oh.
My girlfriend at the time got me a homebrew kit. Same thing with, I believe they were engaged at that time.
And your girlfriends are sisters.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great.
They're sisters. Kai lived in Houston. I lived in the D.C. area. And we both were homebrewing separately for fun, kind of like a hobby outside of our everyday work schedule. I met Kai at a family function, Thanksgiving, Christmas events, and we just hit it off talking about craft beer and what beers we liked, what beers we were homebrewing. And kept that relationship going via email, text, calling each other. Visited him in Houston. He made some beers, tried his beers. He ended up moving back to moving to the D.C. area, not back. Mm-hmm. And just to establish our relationship, we started brewing together and decided we really liked it. We got along, and established a solid friendship from there. And, you know, he got married, I got married into the family. We were brewing probably twice a weekend mm-hmm. at that point. Almost opened a brewery in the Charlottesville area.
Mm-hmm.
God, that was 2013. Decided to pull back, hone our recipes in, and I was living in London, came back in February of 2015, was like, all right, Kai, we got to do this or I'm going to move somewhere else. I was getting kind of bored of the DC area at that point.
Yeah.
And my job was kind of hectic. So Kai was like, all right, I'm cashing my 401k in. I did the same thing and we took the leap.
Nice. So, okay. So what did you envision? Like, you know, you're two beer guys on a weekend brewing beer together thinking, oh man, we want to open a brewery. Like what was your picture? What was kind of like your inspiration? Like, oh, we kind of want to be a little like this and a little like that, but with our own spin on this, you know, what were some breweries or what were some producers that were like really, really inspiring to you?
I drank a ton of Two Hearted that summer. So
nice.
I wanted to make beers like Two Hearted.
Two Hearted from Bell's Brewery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And Dale's Pale Ale, I was crushing a lot of that too. And just, we wanted to make a product that was craft and approachable.
Mm-hmm.
And we fell into the gap of doing what a lot of brewers do, which is they make a style for every person, meaning the range, like we make a white, a wheat, a brown, you know, things that don't exist anymore, like, you know, Cascadian style, black IPAs, things like that. We're doing all of it. And we're like, oh, we'll make all this on a small scale and we'll be like the watering hole for our town.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew and I spent a lot of time thinking regionally where breweries located, which is why originally we thought Charlottesville and then pulled back, is because there were no breweries in our home area, which is at the time Fairfax County. There was only a handful of people like Mad Fox, which had been around for a few years. And we're like, this place is missing like an intimate brewery that's approachable for everybody. And then when we start brewing the beers in the summer of 2015, started going like, okay, well, I don't really like these beers. Why are we doing this? If this is like our life going mm-hmm. forward and we're going to put all of our money on the line and convince our wives like this is a smart endeavor, then why aren't we making these products that we're not passionate about? So we quickly changed to doing the things that we were doing as home brewers, like New England and Hazy and things that were juice bombs or whatever people want to call them. Just stuff that was true to us.
Yeah, I noticed. So I was doing a little research here. And for those of you just tuning in, I'm sitting down with Andrew Kelly and Kai Leskowitz from Aslan Beer Company. So your opening lineup was a double rye ale, a Kolsch stout, IPA, double IPA, Saison, session ale, and a wit beer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, yeah, that was correct? Good research?
Eight of them, yeah.
Okay. And more recently, you know, I was looking at the cans that you're releasing now, and it's double IPA, double IPA, double IPA, double IPA, session IPA, Czech Pilsner, and a Berliner Weiss with passion and mango.
There might be another double IPA in there.
Double IPA and another double IPA.
Probably a triple IPA.
Triple IPA.
I know one was labeled a double imperial IPA, and I was like, wow, really, really going for it. So you have essentially found a niche, and, you know, in an article you have quoted that make beer that we like, and that's how we determine our portfolio.
That's still true. Like,
yeah.
When you look at that and or listening to you mm-hmm. rattle off double, 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 right?
Mm-hmm. It's just what you enjoy.
It's obnoxiously what we enjoy. And the Czech Pilsner is 100% for us as brewers. We didn't do that for the consumers. We have a brew system that's German made. It's designed to do triple decoctions.
Mm-hmm.
We think that's fun and challenging as brewers. And then we just change the hops up.
A
lot of brewers would tell you they look to drink lighter beers that are mm-hmm. brewer beers, not necessarily part of their main portfolio. And we do a lot of that.
Yeah.
We brew the lagers to drink in between our shotguns, right?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Oh, please don't tell me you shotgun a double IPA tall boy.
Yes, we do.
Only triple IPAs.
Only triple IPAs. Oh,
well, actually, we can go into this. One of our rituals for other brewers when they visit us mm-hmm. is before they can do anything or enter our brewery, they must do a shot in a shotgun, and it's our choice what they're doing.
And most of your double IPAs start at 8.5% ABV and go up from there.
That's correct.
Ah, okay. All right. So that's quite an initiation.
You'll have to come visit.
I'll do my best. So actually, I was reading about an interesting beer that you all put together called Raging Rabbit. So this is a double IPA inspired by Trix cereal, which is for kids.
The answer to this is a little lengthy.
Yeah.
So if you look at the total title there, it's Progeny Beer, and then it has a beer named Raging Rabbit. Andrew and I were looking at the industry, and sorry, this is going to be a little long. So
do it, yeah.
We're looking at what are important key elements to our business, and one of those things is retention. We want to make sure that the employees are happy, they're trained well, they're technical, and then they're highly compensated for their skills and abilities. And so one of those things that we're doing to increase retention and kind of incentivize the guys to work is we created a Progeny program, which essentially is the brewer's contract within Aslan. So they all have their own label. All of our brewers, Bo, Joel, Scott, and then any of the other team members that want to come into the program have to become a brewer first. So we have two or three other guys that are eligible for the program this year. But anyway, in Progeny, they get free range to do whatever they want to do. They have to come to Andrew and I, and the stage, the first stage is like, here's the style of beer I want to make, here's the ingredients I think I'm going to use, here's how I'm going to execute it. And this one is Bo's first. He actually went above and beyond and did stage two and stage three, which is create a budget, show us what your costs are going to be, show us what you think your net margin or revenue will be. And then if you do it correctly, these guys are all doing it on their own time, and they execute and meet their numbers, they get to share in that profit as part of like an incentive bonus program.
So this beer is actually brewed with Trix in the beer.
Yeah, I believe he used like 50 or 60 boxes in the mash.
400 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Which I'm very curious how that, I mean, I guess that's, I mean, that's a lot of just fermentable sugars, I suppose, but how did that react with the beer?
Well, he, I believe he did it in the whirlpool.
That's correct.
It extracted some flavor. He also added some, lime zest, orange zest, lemon zest, a little bit of grape juice.
Yeah.
A few of the other, key flavors of Trix in the whirlpool. It was good. For me, it was a little sweet, but it was it was meant to be sweet. It's meant to be similar to drinking the milk out of the bowl after finishing your Trix.
Yeah, cereal milk.
Yeah. We've done cereal beer before. We did a Cinnamon Toast Crunch inspired beer, which again was supposed to taste like the milk after eating the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Nice. And so this has been well received.
Seems to be.
Yeah. People are loving it. I mean, it was a low case count, so that kind of created this hype behind the beer, but overall it's getting positive reviews.
Nice. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Beer Me.
The theme music and the break music here on Beer Me is the legendary Nag Champa Art Ensemble. This is a live at Songbird recording from a few years ago. It's Jamal Gray's project. Find it at soundcloud.com/Nag Champa. We'll be right back. I said I do that to fly. I do that. I said
I do that to fly. I do that. I said I do that to fly. Welcome back to Beer Me, recording live at the Line Hotel. Full Service Radio. I'm sitting down with the co-founders of Aslan Beer Company, Andrew and Kai. Again, thank you both for coming in. So we were just talking about some of their special release beers, as well as, you know, kind of their lineup, which is definitely heavy on New England style IPAs, double IPAs, Imperial IPAs. Highly recommended to be shotgunned. So I do want to talk about your location. You opened up in Herndon, which, as somebody who grew up in the Northern Virginia area, sounds really great, because you're right, there's kind of a vacuum there. But I recall late 2016, you announced that you would be moving from Herndon, and then now we are mid-2018. Are you still in Herndon?
Yeah, so originally we chose Herndon because of the small town feel. Kai lived in Herndon at the time. Our third co-founder, Richard, lived in Reston. I was floating around between Arlington, Falls Church, and now I live in Herndon.
Mm-hmm.
End of December, we closed up shop for on-premise sales, mm-hmm. and solely doing those bottles, but quickly transitioned to cans. And we decided that because of some misfortune with local municipalities, we were going to leave Herndon. Things went better through 2017. We found a spot in Herndon that we wanted to open a tasting room.
Mm-hmm.
But as we quickly were growing, we decided we needed to also move outside of Herndon because of production caps to meet our demand. So
they have caps on production in Herndon?
He's telling the very polite version of the story.
Yes. Okay. So you can only brew 5,000 barrels of beer a year in Herndon per license, and we're already past that. So luckily we have two licenses, one in the downtown Herndon section and one mm-hmm. in our current industrial facility. So we can do 10,000 barrels, but we will be outpacing that probably end of next year.
Okay.
So.
And did you run into issues with like having a tap room or something? Because we talked previously on the show about, you know, different restraints that breweries have with tasting rooms and, you know, how important it is to get involved with your local government and, you know, kind of campaign for these, you know, different things. So was that the issue?
It was an occupancy issue.
Okay. And that too many people were in the brewery and
So
I'm frustrated at that question.
I'm so sorry.
No worries. So we had an occupancy number of approximately 60 people.
Okay.
Neighbor called the fire marshal on us.
Mm-hmm.
We had maybe 100 people in the brewery.
Okay.
So we had to ask 40 people to leave. This was during a huge bottle release. We hadn't released beer to go in approximately 2 months.
I see.
During an expansion.
And bottle releases are incredibly stressful.
Yeah, we did everything online. So
yeah.
We sold something like 6,000 bottles that day.
And you have a ticket system.
Yeah,
so that way, if somebody shows up and is in line forever and then they finally get to the front, it's not like, oh, you just wasted 3 hours of your time, we don't have the beer anymore. It's a ticket system, which I think is very kind for the consumer.
Yeah, so that's right now we just do that for the Mug Club, but then we did it for Mug Club and for mm-hmm. General public, and we actually had extra that we sold day of to people that didn't actually get to buy any tickets online because that sold out extremely quick.
So you had to go around and ask 40 people to leave, which sucks.
Yeah, we ended up actually closing down that night early. So Kai and I were like, all right, well, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. How are we going to address this going forward? And what had happened, the reason why we were closed down that night was our occupancy report said 28 seats. So they mm-hmm. held us at 28 people, which includes staff. So we went through meetings with the fire marshal in the town, and mm-hmm. they decided to reduce our occupancy because they missed something during the build-out period, which was a fire exit that we should have had in the back to have that assembly permit.
Mm-hmm.
So Kai and I made the business decision that we couldn't run a successful tasting room with that lower occupancy number.
Mm-hmm.
We were just going to be to-go only until we found a new tasting room. So we're about a year and a half from that moment, and mm-hmm. we're still building the tasting room out, looking for a production facility. It's taking a lot more time than we thought,
mm-hmm.
and there's been some roadblocks that we're trying to circumvent, but other than that, we hope to have something open up in the next 6 months to a year. Don't want to promise anything at this point, but.
And so your tasting room will be in Herndon?
Yeah, our goal is to have one in Herndon and then one outside of Herndon.
Okay.
As of right now.
But like a separate production facility so that you have more space.
Yeah. So we're currently in lease negotiations at a warehouse in the Northern Virginia area.
Nice. And so right now people can come and it's just like basically pick up. Like, hey, I'm going to come and buy cans. You guys do crowlers?
Not anymore.
Just cans. Okay, so just cans and no growler filling or anything like that. Okay. So
not at this point.
And is it still a ticket system?
So just for the Mug Club. So we have 200 Mug Club members. They mm-hmm. can log on Tuesday evening or Tuesday morning through Wednesday morning and purchase their weekly allotment of beer, and then whatever's left over from that purchasing window, general public will have access to that beer.
And can you, for our listeners who are not familiar, what is your Mug Club?
A Our mug club is a, it was designed to be for the local customers to come in and drink out of a 20-ounce mug, but now it's turned into this like uncontrollable beast that we have 200 beer nerds that can order beer ahead of time, pick it up anytime within the Thursday through Sunday business hours, and then we have other events for them where they get basically first access to the beer.
Okay, and it's like a, it's a membership that they pay for, and it gives them access and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's an annual membership.
Okay, and I mean, you, it's a great idea because you do have such a following, and you know, you've got this product that, I mean, as far as even among like the trading community, I mean, it's pretty off the charts. You've got a lot of kind of trading power when it comes to a can of Aslan beer. And the great thing is for the most part, it needs to be consumed quickly because you don't want it hanging around for more than, what, 90 days. So, you know, it's a good problem to have, I feel like. And are you distributing at all in the city or anywhere?
Yeah, we're doing our own distribution here into the city. You can find us at like the neighborhood restaurant groups, Church Key, some of their smaller places, Eat Bar, Partisan, and Red Apron at Union Market, and also the pint group, like Meridian Pint, and Smoke and Barrel, Brooklyn Pint. But in Virginia and everywhere else, nowhere. We don't currently have a distributor for that. A couple of reasons. One, we're moving 99% of the product over the counter at the brewery, and there's no need to do that.
There's such high demand for
Exactly. And the other reason is just the production limitation. As soon as we have the ability to make more product and increase people's access to it, we will.
Nice. So any general advice for people kind of trying to open up their brewery, go into the world? I feel like you two have dealt with a lot of the business side of the headache. So any, you know, general advice for those people?
We always tell the guys, focus on your product. If you make a good beer, no matter what the style is, and you truly use an independent person to evaluate that, you'll be fine. Make a good product, be confident in your things, and then just learn from there.
Yeah.
The other thing that we've learned as a brewery is that everything you can read online or in a book is only true to a certain point. You have to experience it yourself, and don't take it as gospel. We've done things completely differently than others have launched themselves in the industry, and we've done things very similar and get different results. So don't paint yourself into a corner and be very flexible.
What are some things that you've done like completely kind of off the wall different that, you know, maybe you've had some veteran brewers kind of roll their eyes or say like, oh, I wouldn't have done that, but
hazy IPA.
Yeah. Our entire business model. No, I don't know. This is the one thing that I always go back to is that we were completely untrained and we're non-technical home brewers. We had no idea what we were doing. And we learned through a lot of hardship. But we challenged the business model to begin with. Like, not many people get to where we are today by being a two-barrel brew house. A lot of the stuff we read 6 and 7 years ago when we were putting the business model together was, you have to be a 10-barrel brew house at minimum, making X barrels a year, and, you know, 70-80% of that has to be through distribution. We didn't do any of that. We still don't do any of that. And I'd say we're fairly well-known, even giving that. So being prepared to say, like, you know, you're going to invest X dollars in some type of system and pursue the traditional business model, it definitely wasn't true for us. And I can say anecdotally, there's a handful of other breweries that have done very similar things, and they're just as successful.
Nice.
Yeah, my advice is just brew what you have a passion about. You know, it's just like a chef, right? If you can tell if the cook isn't into what they're making, same thing with brewing, it's gonna result in a poorly made beer, or just an average beer. So be passionate about what you're brewing and be innovative. That's another thing that I think helps us keep growing, is introducing new styles of beer or just changing it up every week so that you don't get the same IPA every week. We find that consumers like that rotation. I mean, you see other breweries doing it as well, and they're successful at it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can't imagine you guys have like a flagship, you know what I mean? Or like a beer that you've had from the beginning. It's the one that you produce the most and, you know,
Yeah, kind of. I mean, what the base for a lot of our products are is actually a beer we made right around the beginning of our first launch in September 15 was Mind the Hop, which isn't made. Well, yeah, it is made in its original form and also a double dry hop version of it. But it's also the base of all of our Johans. Our Johan series is basically just a fruited Mind the Hop or a fruited and vanilla version of Mind the Hop. That Double Orange Starfish and I think even Master Karate now, the finest. We have a whole series based on Master Karate recipe with a sensei, wax on, wax off, grasshopper. So
it's very timely with the Karate Kid coming back. Was it to Netflix or something like that?
To YouTube. Yeah. But I think Double Orange Starfish or Single Orange Starfish would be our defining beers. I think a lot of people know us for that one.
And Double Orange Starfish is your session IPA?
It's Double Orange Starfish is a double IPA.
Double IPA.
Like 8.2% Citra.
But your original, like just Orange Starfish. Your session IPA.
Yeah, 5.5%.
Yeah. Okay. Session-ish.
Yeah. You can have multiple.
Well, thank you both so much for coming in all the way from Herndon and sitting down and talking with us. Hopefully we see you around for Savor. Coming up June 1st and 2nd. I'm assuming you have some events, or you're participating in some events, or
we have one event at Meridian Pint. Other than that, I don't think I'm not planning on going to the actual Savor event. I don't know if Kai is.
It's in the air.
But at this point, it's just one event at Meridian Pint.
Which event is that? Just so people can maybe check out your beer or
Virginia Ales, I believe.
Virginia Ale. Virginia, do you know IPAs. The day or? I'm sorry, I'm so putting you on the spot. But otherwise, check out their beer garden. It's right outside Nat Stadium. Really fun spot. And like I said, there's usually a food truck there. So you can have some really great beer. You can have some really great food. Go out to Herndon, and it's a beautiful area. And, you know, get some cans of beer. Go on the internet, trade them. Get other beers, too. You know, mix it up, make some friends. Get in that beer nerd world.
So the event is Virginia Beer Event at Smoke and Barrel, Tuesday, May
29th. Nice. Awesome. Well, check that out. Drink local beer. And thank you again for listening. This is Beer Me on Full Service Radio, recorded live at the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts, covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.